Good evening, everyone. We are going to spend our time tonight from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, for tonight's lesson. And verses 9 and the following verses, it's about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself, and he said, God, I thank you that I am not like that other man, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes to all of that I possess. And then the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus continued on and said, I told you this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray again. Father, we ask that you bless our time as we look into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, this evening. We pray, God, that you will open our eyes with regards to the state of our hearts, our character and our attitude. Also pray, God, that you will bless us with peace, that we can continue to live peaceably with other people. Pray that you will bless us with understanding, so that when we look at other people, we will understand that there's many things probably going on in their lives. Bless us with forgiveness, so that we can also learn to forgive others. And so bless us with humility, so that we can humble ourselves in front of you. And hopefully, you will lift us up as we humble ourselves. And we pray this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. So there are two characters in this story. One is the Pharisee, and the other is a tax collector. And as you know from probably from many Bible studies, that the Pharisee is a sect of Jews, a collection of Jewish people that has a high understanding of the law of the Old Testament. They memorize the law. They know the Shema by heart. They can recite it even closing their eyes. Most of the Old Testament stories they know by heart. And these are people that continues to follow the law despite of the fact that there's no solid Jewish nation already, because they're under the Roman Empire during this time, but they still continue to be a native of a Jewish tradition. Now, the tax collector is a different kind of, they're still Jews, most of them are Jews, but they're a different kind of Jewish sect. Because these are people that work for the Roman Empire, and most of the Jews that are not tax collectors despise this group of people because they collect taxes for the Roman Empire. Instead of just giving 10% of their taxes, most of these tax collectors would collect 15%. And so it's a hard position to be in if you're a tax collector. You'll get enough money, more than enough money for yourself and your family, but it's a hard job to be a tax collector. And the way that Jesus started this parable is that he said, I'm going to make up a story. That's the parable here. It's not a real incident here. It's a made-up story by Jesus. He said, I'm going to make up a story for people that, according to verse 9, that trusted in themselves, who think that they are righteous, and that in their righteousness they tend to despise others. So here's the story for you people. People who are self-righteous, who lift themselves up and who think that they are the only righteous people in this world and the others are not righteous. They are holy, but the others are unholy. They are moral and the others are immoral. Here's a story for you, he said. That there's two men. One is the Pharisee and the other is the tax collector. And if we're going to repeat this story, we probably would not see much of a connection here, because we don't have any Pharisees today. We don't have any tax collectors today that lives to the same standard as a tax collector during Jesus' day. So what we will do is kind of make up a story like what Jesus did. A Pharisee today would be somebody that thinks that he is a person that's righteous because he goes to church every Sunday. And this is not to say that all of us that come to church, because I come to church every Sunday, are the Pharisees. This is just to say that there are people who come to church and they think that they are really, really righteous because of what they do at church. They base their righteousness on their self, on their ability to be present at church, on their ability to make themselves feel good. So those are the Pharisees of today. This is also a person that carries a megaphone. They don't have a physical megaphone, a literal megaphone, but they carry a megaphone. Whenever they do something, they kind of, you know, take a picture of themselves. Look, I've done something. I've given a food to a stranger, to a homeless guy. I've handed out money. He carries a selfie stick so that whenever he does something good, he can make a selfie of himself. He's also, a Pharisee is also somebody that carries a 72 inches flat screen TV on his neck. He carries it around with him, and he plays a replay of an HD or a 4K, a clip of himself doing good things so that he can show it to others. So he goes around and brags about things that he has done. So those good things, he puts it on replay on this 72 inches flat screen TV. He's also a guy that says, you guys out there, you're not going to go to heaven, but we guys up here, we're going to go to heaven. And the tax collector today would be somebody that says, I am so immoral. And I know that I want to be right. I want to be in good terms with God, be in good terms with the people that I am in relationship with, but I have a hard time coming out from that messiness, but I want to get out of that messiness. But I just have a hard time getting out of that messiness. But I want to. They are also, the tax collectors are also somebody that's trapped in the system. We know that we have systems here in the U.S. We have the housing system. We have the kids, you know, when kids are left by their parents, the kids are taken to a system here in the U.S. These are people, the tax collectors are people that are trapped in the system where they want to do better for themselves, want to do better, but the only way to do better is to do illegal things for them. So it's a system that they're in. So that's the tax collector and that's the Pharisee. Now the good thing about this story is that Jesus puts a big contrast about this two, so it's easy for us to pick out which one is the Pharisee and which one is the tax collector. There is no thin line here. There is a big contrast about these two characters in the made-up story of Jesus in Luke chapter 18. Now the difference here, though, is that once the Pharisee went to the temple, and the tax collector went into the temple, their actions are so different. Because the Pharisee said, God, he said, look, I'm a righteous person. And I thank you that I am not influenced by any of the immoralities that I see in this world. I thank you that I am a pure American. I thank you that I am a pure Christian. I thank you that I am not influenced by anything in this world. I thank you that I can give money to the church every Sunday. I thank you that I am wealthy. I thank you that you have blessed me. And because of that, I am grateful. I am thankful as well that I am not like this person right here next to me. And the tax collector, he said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm not like that person over there. I'm sorry that I am a sinner. I'm sorry that I can't make myself right in your eyes. God be merciful to me, a sinner. So these are two different phrases. Their posture is so different. The Pharisee, his posture is of arrogance, almost like. He's too full of himself. The posture of the tax collector is so lowly. He is so humble because of his brokenness, and he realizes just how much messed up he is. And I'm not saying that we are the Pharisee or we are the tax collector. What I'm saying is that in the Christian world, there are two kinds of people sometimes. And sometimes I can be a Pharisee, and sometimes I can be a tax collector. The temple that Jesus spoke to, or referred to here, is the second temple. It is a temple that has seen destruction. This is a temple that was rebuilt by Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. And it tells a lot about the openness of this temple, because the first temple that was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, there was a lot of restriction. But the second temple, there was not that much of a restriction. So anybody can come to this temple, including the tax collector. In our church today, sometimes we create, I'm not saying that we, but you know, Christianity in general, sometimes Christianity in general create this kind of atmosphere that a certain kind of people cannot come to church. There's only a certain kind of people. It's almost like the dynamics that we create in the general Christian world is like the first temple that was created by Solomon that was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire, that only a certain kind of people can come to the temple. But the second temple is the temple that Jesus refers to here. It's a temple that is open to everybody. You may be a sinner. You might be a holy person. You might be somebody that's trying to fix yourself. You are open. You're welcome to this temple. And this is a story that Jesus draws from. He said, anybody is welcome to this temple, even this Pharisee and this tax collector, both of them are welcome to this temple. They can pray, they can offer their offering to God side by side. But we want to come to church where our hearts are right with God. In Matthew chapter 15 that Mark brought up this morning, he said, their lips mention about me, but their hearts are far from me. And I am not, I might sound like I'm accusing all of us, so that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just kind of reminding us that when Jesus draw this picture, this imagery, this story, when he made up this story, this is for people that are arrogant, that are full of themselves. And people that really worship God are people that are humble. People that knows that it's not about them. It's not about how much they give to church. It's not about how long they've come to church. But it's about how Jesus brought them to the church so that we can worship together as one family. And the point of this story, or not the point of the story, I'm sorry, but this the last part of this story, Jesus said, you know, of the two persons that went to the church or the temple, this person, he's pointing to the tax collector. He said, rather than that Pharisee who has given so much to the church, who has given 10% of his income, or more than 10% of his income, who prays whenever he has the opportunity to pray, who has memorized the Bible, who has done the extra 2 miles for his neighbor, rather than him being the one that's rightly aligned with me now, it's this person, the tax collector. Why? Why the tax collector, God? What, Jesus, why the tax collector? The tax collector is the immoral person. He's the one who's been cheating us. He's the one who's putting a bad taste towards the Jews, because he's a Jew, but he's not loyal to the Jews. He's loyal to the Roman Empire. But why? But why the tax collector? The tax collector, because his heart is a heart that is broken by God, but it's also a heart that's trying to be right with God. So I think what I'm trying to emphasize here for us this evening is that if we have been a member of the church for so long and have been faithful to the church, and we should be faithful to the church, I hope that we can don't come to a point where we say, I am the only one that's going to go to heaven. I am the only, this church is only for this kind of people. I hope we don't come to that point. Because that's a dangerous point according to the parable of Jesus. I hope we are always in the posture where we say, I am just like this tax collector. When I was a young minister back in my hometown, I shared the gospel to a lady that has quite that she has a good name, a good reputation because she has been with many, many men in the community. So I was trying to be well, anyway. And when my lead minister learned about this, he was furious. He said, how could you go there and preach the gospel to that woman? Did you not know about her reputation? That she has gone to this person and to that person and she sees them, you know, so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. And I was really, really shocked that this lead minister who is mentoring me on some things told me why have you gone there? And told me, you should have not gone there. And you should have not shared the gospel to her because she is this and so on and so forth. And to realize this, that he is a minister, that he is my mentor or was my mentor. And to say those things, I was appalled. Like, really? I thought the gospel is for everybody. I thought the church is for everybody, not just to a certain group of people, not just to the nice people, not just to a well-dressed people, but to everybody. And so that kind of gave me the understanding that sometimes just because we come to church doesn't mean that we have the right heart that's aligned with God. And this is a good parable for us because it reminds us that hopefully we don't come to a certain level where we say the church, the Netherlands church, is just for a certain group of people. Because the church that Jesus died for is for everybody. You can be holy and welcome. You can be a sinner and trying to find your way to Jesus, you're welcome. You might be a sinner that has a hard time following Jesus, you're still welcome. You might be a sinner that's almost like dead in sight of others, but you're still welcome. This is the church that Jesus died for. The tax collector is the person who sometimes reflects my old self, where I got into bad things, bad decisions. But the tax collector is also somebody that after realizing his mistakes, he didn't dwell in those mistakes, but instead stood up and said, I want to be done with these mistakes. I don't want to stay in this kind of life. I want to get out. And God, I know that I cannot do this by myself. And so please be merciful to me. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I'm in this messy routine that I do every day. Please help me. Be merciful to me. And it's a good reminder for us that sometimes we are like the tax collectors. And there's a danger sometimes in forgetting that we are like the tax collectors. Because sometimes when we forget that we are the tax collectors, we come to understand or to think that we are the Pharisee. That we are the righteous one, when to begin with, we are just like the tax collectors. Each one of us continue to struggle with something in our lives. It could be pride. It could be control. It could be power. It could be money. Most of us struggle with these things. And so we're not the Pharisees. We are the tax collector. So wouldn't it be great if we learn to forgive each other? Wouldn't it be great if we learn to be humble? We learn to serve. Jesus, in his last days, one of the things that he did, he showed to his followers that he took a basin and he filled it with water, and then he bent down and he stooped down and started to wash the disciples' feet, an act of great service. I think that's the imagery that we can get from this parable as well. The humility that we see in the tax collector is not isolated from the character of Jesus. It is something that Jesus is very familiar with because according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let me read that again, because this is, even without translating this text, it's a powerful text for us. He said that even Jesus, who being in the form of God, equal to God, he did not consider to be equal with God. He's in the same position as the Father, and yet he didn't say, hey, follow me because I'm God. I have the power. I can walk on water. I can make miracles. Hey, follow me. He didn't do that. He said he made himself of no reputation. He lowered himself. He took the form of a bondservant, of slave, and he came in the likeness of men, just like us. Just like us. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, that's in verse 8, and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So the humility that we see here in Jesus and the humility that we see in the tax collector are the same kind of humility. Is the realization that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And why do we talk about humility? And why do we talk about two kinds of people here? And you see, in this environment that we are in right now, there's many people that are moving into this area. As Cookville and Livingston will continue to grow, there will be new subdivisions, new villages, new people will come in. Probably in the next 5 years, we will see new faces here. And there's a danger in us being comfortable in this kind of people. You know, it's just us. We are a family. And there's a danger in being comfortable in being a family. Sometimes we can close our doors because we might begin to think that, well, you're a stranger. You're not welcome here. This is our family. This is our comfort zone. This is our group. You're not welcome here. There's a danger to that. I hope when that time comes, when more people begin to move into this building, into our family, that we will continue to be a friendly people, an open people, and that we will embrace them. And I'm not saying that you are not. You are, okay? Okay, I'm just clarifying that. You are. I'm just reminding us of the possibility of what will happen in the future if, you know, we begin to introduce those kinds of negative things. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 6, it said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. I'm going to go back up. Verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, and cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Peter tells us, to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And if you think about Peter, Peter is the person that betrayed Jesus, not just once, not just twice, but three times. He betrayed Jesus three times. And when Jesus prophesied about this, he said, no, Jesus, master, teacher, rabbi, I'm not going to do that. You know me. I'm the first one that stands up and says good things about you. But I'm not going to betray you. But when he betrayed Jesus and the prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled about Peter, he ran away. Now, there's another person that betrayed Jesus, and it was Judas. And Judas sold Jesus for $30, or 30 silver, pieces of silver, not $30. But these two apostles have different reactions to their actions. While Judas betrayed Jesus and hanged himself and died, Peter, who betrayed Jesus and hanged not himself but his pride and his arrogance and more of himself, he was able to live. Judas hanged himself because he couldn't contain the guilt. He couldn't contain his self being wrong. He couldn't accept being wrong, so he hanged himself and died. But Peter hanged not himself, not his body, but his pride and his arrogance, and said, I'm willing to say that I'm wrong, that I'm mistaken most of my decisions. And I'm going to hang this pride over here on that cross of Jesus so I can live. So here he is writing us about humility. And he has basis because he has exemplified this in his life. Even though it was hard for him, a person who is always first to say good things, always first to answer, always, you know, the first one that has the bravery to say good things to Jesus, he is also somebody that's willing to say, I'm wrong. I'm willing to accept that I'm wrong. So his speech about humility has basis because he lived it, he exemplified it, and he was able to share it to us today. So in this parable, our life is reflected in many ways. It can be about the temple, which is open to anybody. It can be about the Pharisee, which is more about self. Or it can be about the tax collector who is broken because of his sins. And wherever you stay in these images that Luke chapter 18 gave us this evening, there's always something there for us. And it's always about Jesus. Because as you progress into the story of the Bible, you will learn that Jesus is the temple. That Jesus is the Pharisee that teaches us about the arrogance. That Jesus is the tax collector that teaches us about humility. So it teaches us about Jesus. It is my prayer that as God continues to use this group of people right here, that we will show our Christ-likeness to others, and we will show that we are a body of people that has been redeemed, and we are willing to say, I might be wrong in this instance, I might be wrong on this point, but I'm humbling myself in God. I might be wrong about this person, I might be wrong about this subject, but I'm willing to say, I'm wrong. And accept me. And so when people come here and they try to find their place, their identity, their home, I think when once we are humble, they will feel really, really at home. Because the stories that we heard about the tax collector are our stories. The stories that we heard about the Pharisees are our stories as well. The stories that we heard about the temple are our stories as well. And I think that there's really a great opportunity for us here in Netherlands to be this kind of people that are humble so that God can continue to bring people into this community. I want to close this with a verse from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. It said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. John, who wrote the Gospel of John, also 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, he understood the effects of sin. He understood that once we are willing to admit that we are sinful, God can reign in our lives, not only in our lives, but in our community. And once God reigns in our community, God can work on many, many aspects of our community. But once we say that we are righteous, God tends to stand back. I hope that we are willing to say, I'm a sinner, I made mistakes, I'm wrong, and God, come into my life. If I'm a tax collector, God, be merciful to me.